Well, coming up on this episode of Complete Estate Planning, we've talked about probate, what all it entails, but what does that process look like from start to finish? Today, Nick will take us through it every step of the way. Stay tuned.
Do you know what will happen to your loved ones when something happens to you? If you don't know the answer or don't like the answer, then this is the show for you. Listen up as we teach you about protecting your family legacy through better estate planning. Our family is here to protect yours. So welcome to the Complete Estate Planning Podcast with attorney Nick Rosenbauer. And here's your host, Ben George.
Welcome in. Glad to have you on the show, Ben George, with Nick Rosenbauer. Nick, it's great to talk to you again. How are you?
Doing good. How about yourself? It's good to be on. It's Friday. It's a Friday. That's typically when we record all these. And I think the warm weather, we're flirting with some warm weather. It keeps coming and going, but I think we're about through the winter.
Think so?
Yeah. I don't know how many more, 20-degree days we're going to have. So I think we're shifting from 60 to 20, to 65 to 45 or something. So I think we're almost to the point where, we can play outside most evenings with the kids. We're almost there. I think we're going to be another week or two, and I think we're through the winter.
Yeah, I've been doing that where I am now. In the longer days is beautiful. Added sunshine in the afternoon where you actually can get off work and still, hey, there's actually some time to do something now.
Well, and you know how it is. I get, and I didn't realize this before, but you almost get bummed out when you're driving home and it's pitch black. Even if it's 6 o'clock, you kind of get bummed out. It's dark. You feel like it's midnight and you miss your family, even though you get home at like 6:15. But it is really nice that I'm driving home and I can still see what's going on. Don't have to turn the lights on. And then we have dinner and we can go outside. Just went for a walk in the neighborhood with the little ones last night. And it's awesome. I think the time change or the longer days, I think, is actually psychologically more beneficial even than the temperature.
All right. Well, we hope you're enjoying this time of year, wherever you're listening from. And we have listeners all over the country, which we appreciate here on the podcast, and always encourage you to reach out if you hear to the show and have a question for Nick. If you're in Ohio, you want to work with Nick, log on CincinnatiEstatePlan.com. Phone number 513-463-6789. And for those that don't know Nick, of course, he's an estate planning attorney and the owner of the Rosenbauer Law Office. All right. So, Nick, we talk probate all the time. I know you've kind of painted the picture of what probate will be like for people that have to deal with it, and it doesn't seem like the most pleasant experience, right? And this, it could be a long, drawn-out, and expensive process as well. But today we want to actually walk through the entire process so people know what to expect, right?
Yeah, exactly. And for those of you, we're actually I was talking to Ben before we got on air here. We're actually going to be doing a two-part series of kind of the start to finish, like the checklist or the playbook after someone passes away. And this will be part one, where I will walk through, basically I'll say, here's what I tell my executor clients after someone passes away. And I say, hey, here's the will, here's what to expect start to finish. And then we will do another episode after this as part two, and I will walk through exactly what I would say to a trustee client of mine. Someone passes away and, hey, we're not going through probate, but mom and dad had a trust and I'm in charge of it. Okay, so there'll be, and one of the things that people will realize is a lot of the steps or items on the checklist of what we have to do will be very similar, okay? But how we get it done, how quickly or slowly we can get it done, and some of the nuances of it, I think, will be very different. So it'll be really good to kind of compare and contrast here. So this will be a two-part series. So I think, what do they call that? Do they call that a teaser, Ben? Is that the appropriate word?
I think that's right,
word?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So listen to this episode and also stay tuned for the next episode here. So, we'll dive right into it. And this will be the hard difficulty. The first one here for probate process. And when we do the next one, that'll be the easy button.
All right. So probate, of course, the legal process that happens after someone passes away. And we're going to obviously take this approach from the perspective of being in Ohio, right? For someone that lives in Ohio, that's where you operate, Nick. So these are the steps then we want to walk through, and we're going to explain them in layman's terms, right? So where do we want to start?
Yeah, and I will say this, a lot of these processes, you know, and it'll be very clear here in a minute, they have to be done no matter where you are, but I'm sure Montana probably has a different wrinkle than Ohio, you know, versus Florida versus Maine. But all these things need to be done. So again, talking in generalities here. But anyway, to start it all off, you know, eventually we need to get the estate, you know, the court case opened, and someone needs to be put in charge. Okay, so the way I describe it is we have to apply for the job of executor, which would be someone named in the will, or, and if there is no will, you know, someone actually has to step forward and say, I'm willing to be in charge of all of this. But we have to initiate a probate process, and we file, it's a huge stack of paper here in Ohio, and we're basically filing with the probate court, and we need to notify the court that the person passed away. Is there a will? You know, and if there is a will, who did it say is the executor? Obviously, if there's not a will, it's, hey, the person passed away, and who is stepping forward and applying for the job to serve as the executor? You know, if they're named in a will, and here in Ohio, if there is no will, then it is called an administrator. Okay, but yeah, it's the same idea. But yeah, we have to start this all off. The person is dead. They lived in this county, because you have to open the probate estate, at least the main one, where the deceased person was a resident of. So basically, hey, this person died. They lived in this county. There was a will that named me the executor, or there was no will, but I'm stepping forward and applying for the job. Okay, so we got to do all of that just to kind of get started here.
All right, so busy even starting point in this process, of course. So where do we go from there?
Well, and honestly, that is paperwork-wise, I'd say 40% of the paperwork is just getting everything open and getting a case number. Okay, so I tell people it's like a plateau that we're climbing, not a mountain. And we need to get to, and getting the first step is big. Now, the second piece of that, once the estate is open, by law, certain people need to be notified. And there's typically two groups of people who have to be notified. So the beneficiaries, so whoever's going to get money, whether it is by the default inheritance plan, if there is no will, or if there is a will, whoever's named in the will to get something. And also the next of kin, or the heirs of the person who passed away, whether they're named to get money or not. And a lot of times, Ben, it's the same, you know, so if it's, hey, I die, I have three kids, I want them to get the money. The kids are my next of kin. They are my heirs. They're also the ones getting all the money. So usually there's overlap, but by law, people have to be notified, hey, this person passed away, and this person has applied to, has submitted the will for approval, and has also applied for the job of executor. So that's kind of an annoying process. Here in Ohio, we have ways to get around it, but it requires the cooperation of everyone. Otherwise, we have to send out certified mail notices, which scares people, because when I get certified mail, I think it's the IRS.
So, yeah, it's never a good thing, it feels like.
Right. You're either getting sued, you're getting audited, or it's a probate. And two of those three are really, really scary. But yeah, so people have to be notified. It is a protection for everyone involved. And long story short, you know, the laws are set up that way. So no one can come in the dark and kind of handle everything without anyone who's involved, what we call an interested party, someone who has stake in the game. They have to be notified. Like if I'm submitting a will and a bunch of money's coming to you, I can't do the probate without you. Like you have to be notified of it. So again, it's annoying. It's a dumb little step that can sometimes trip people up. I'll tell you, Ben, where this becomes a problem is when the family's not cooperating. and I'm not going to sign it. I'm not going to go, you know, I'm not going to sign the receipt. I'm not going to sign for the certified mail, and it keeps getting sent back. So this is actually one of the first places where if there is no cooperation or if there's fights in the family, it is a golden opportunity for someone to throw a monkey wrench into the system.
It's interesting hearing the how everything kind of works out, right? You don't understand all the little small details and a lot of the paperwork and a lot of that stuff that goes into everything, especially up front when you're doing this.
Yeah, and some of it is eye-rolling, but, you know, it's, hey, I can't jam a entire inheritance plan through start to finish without the people who are actually getting money have any clue what's going on. So I think the people who created the process, I think their heart's in the right place. But as often happens, we certainly didn't find the most efficient way of getting it done. But yeah, right. Has to be done.
Yeah. All right, what's our next step?
Well, once we get it open, we've applied for the job, we have a court case, and we've sent out our notification, so everyone knows what's going on. Mm-hmm. Then, obviously, we have to get to work of finding out what we had, so kind of an inventory of the estate, so of the assets. So someone needs to find out what the person had. Did they have a house, bank accounts, cars, investments, life insurance, coin collection, I don't know. And eventually you have to get a full, very specific list to submit to the court saying exactly what the deceased person had. And then if there are items where you can't easily figure out the value, you have to be accurate with that. So a lot of times an appraisal would be necessary. And Ben, obviously a checking account, you know, I can print up a statement and it says exactly how much money's in the account. That's fairly easy. But for a car, you have to get like a Kelley Blue Book or something like that. For a house, a lot of times you have to get some sort of appraisal. So things like that have to be done because you have to give precise information to the court. Here's everything that they had. Here's what all of it is worth. So that needs to be done so we know what we're dealing with. And that usually can't be done. Well, actually almost always cannot be done. Until the estate is open, we don't have anyone who has the legal authority to access this and say, send me a bank statement. But once we get that open and someone's been appointed as the executor, that's when they have the authority to call the bank and you know get all the process taken care of. So that needs to be done once we get everything opened, and we do have to be very precise on that. So sometimes you have to bring in appraisals or things like that so it can get slogged down.
All right, so inventory and appraisal, the third step of the process. All right, what do we have next?
Well, and this doesn't always happen, but if there are bills for the person who passed away, you know, whether they had their last hospital bill that wasn't paid or funeral bill that wasn't paid or their final tax return, that's a big one. You'll have a lot of times where someone, you know, maybe they die in October, and then all of a sudden in February of the next year, you get all these tax forms because if they were alive, they would have filed a tax return. But, you know, let's call it what it is. They're not here to do it. So if there's any debts, any bills, funeral expenses, credit cards, other loans, things like that, all of that has to get paid off before someone can inherit. So that needs to be done. And I'll tell you what, that's usually one of the hardest parts to get a handle on, because it's hard to find that out. And a lot of times these things will pop up, you know, when we're ready to close the estate. I actually had one that we're dealing with now where the case is done. Like we completed everything. And then we got a notification that there was a bill for like $30 or something like that. And we had no idea about it. And it came in, you know, after we had already been done. So sometimes it's hard to find all of this out. But yeah, the bills, debts, expenses, all of that needs to be paid.
What happens if those taxes aren't paid, Nick? Is that the responsibility of the person that's inheriting everything? I mean, it just seems like that's the last thing you care about is taking care of somebody's taxes, right? Close that book and let's move on.
It should be. But as my accountant likes to point out how powerful the IRS is, his phrase is always, the burden is on the taxpayer.
Yeah.
So the IRS can put liens. Frankly, they can come after the executor.
Okay.
Because the executor, you are in charge of this person's assets and affairs. It is your responsibility to make sure everything's taken care of. So I always try to preach patience with my executors. Hey, we're eventually going to get tax forms in the new year. Keep an eye on the mail. And we need to make sure that's taken care of before we dole out the money. Otherwise, you're going to get a bill from the IRS and you're not going to have any money left. What are you going to do? You're going to call all three of the kids and say, hey, I need each of you to give $700 back. Mm-hmm. You can, but that doesn't go very well. So, but yeah, that needs to be done. The IRS specifically is the one you don't want to mess with.
All right, so paying off those debts, settling that, and getting the taxes taken care of as well. Then from there, it's time to distribute stuff, right?
Usually. Once you feel confident that you've gotten everything taken care of and there's no more surprises, then obviously you distribute everything, you know, whatever the inheritance plan says in the will, or if there's no will, then according to the state law for what you know, the default inheritance plan is. So yeah, you do that, but that always comes after all the bills and debts are paid.
Okay. So step number five there, what's next?
And I'll be honest with you, typically these last two, I go back and forth on whether or not I would combine them as a step six versus separate them into a step six and a step seven. But then you have to submit a final report and a final accounting with the court showing everything that happened. So you have to do a final account that says, here's everything we brought in, here's all the bills and expenses that we paid, and then here's the checks that we wrote to the three people, and they received it, they cashed it, and you know, we even have to submit bank statements showing zero balance, showing all three of the kids cashed their checks. I have completed the job and distributed everything. And then the court has to look over it, hopefully approve it. And then once that is done, and then I will say, like I said, sometimes I combine these two, then we close out the estate. So you cannot close the estate until the court has approved all the actions you have done. So the court has to approve, yep, you did it all. You paid all the bills. No funny business. And I can confirm that everyone got their full inheritance. Oftentimes, when we are finishing an estate and there aren't any hiccups, we will submit the paperwork to approve the accounting and to close the estate at the same time. So a lot of times we'll do all that at the same time. And then we get a big packet back from the court a few months later, depending on how backed up they are, saying, and then in the packet, there will be the court's approval on the actions that the executor has taken and also an approval saying the estate is closed. So they're two different things, but in a perfect world, they kind of happen at the same time. So I would say step 6A and step 6B may be a more accurate description. But those are the last two things that need to be done.
How often does a court not approve the report?
More often than they should.
Really?
I will say the biggest time we get hiccups is when they want more information, a lot of times for stupid reasons. Hey, here's the bank statement that shows the $3,000 check that was paid for the ambulance bill, but we need you to go back and call the hospital and get a copy of the canceled check itself and a copy of the hospital invoice showing that they received the check and that the bill, the balance is now zero. So it's I don't get a whole lot of, we are not approving this. I get a lot of, send us more documentation to support it, even though what we send them is clear as day. And I will say the other item here is sometimes they need a more formal review for expense reimbursements in a situation where maybe there were bills that were due right away and someone just fronted them, just got out their credit card and paid for the funeral and paid for things up front waiting to be reimbursed later. Like, hey, you know, dad's got a loan on his car. It'll take 6 months before we can get this thing open. I don't want them to repo the car. Let me pay Honda off. You know, let me give them the $10,000 to pay the car off, and now I want my $10,000 back. That's a higher amount. So sometimes the courts will be extra careful there. Okay. So typically they don't flat out deny it, but sometimes they'll say, let me see more info on it.
So those are the steps. And I guess it's important to note too that, you know, this is a very complex process. It's not easy to do. And this is something you probably want to seek out the help of a lawyer who specializes in this, right?
100%. And I will be honest with you, this sounds awful, but as far as playing the game, the court and the judges and the clerks, they will honestly treat you with more skepticism if you do not hire an attorney.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. They'll be pretty, you know, they'll say, you need to get an attorney. You need to get an attorney. Now, I understand why, because they probably deal with a whole lot of people every day who say, I need to get this done. I don't have any money, or I don't need an attorney. It should be simple. And they end up dealing with individual people who get it wrong all the time. So I'm sure it's frustrating, but I will tell you this. Just have someone who knows what they're doing and deals with that county very often. They don't have to be in that county, but make sure they say, oh yeah, I deal with that county all the time. It's state law, but with county wrinkles is what I say.
Okay.
So all the counties around here do the same thing a little bit differently. But, you know, hey, Butler County, Warren County, Montgomery County, Preble County, Claremont County, Hamilton County, you know, I know their nuances and, you know, we know the clerks and everything like that. And I don't want to sound like we're playing the game, but it's good to know someone who knows the clerks, knows the judges, and knows how it all works. So yeah, absolutely, that is the smoothest way to get through it. Just being upfront with you, even though I know that's very self-serving to us, of course. Yep, absolutely. So there's our teaser again that I hit you with. Make sure you guys subscribe, leave a 5-star review for us for our podcast, if you don't mind. That helps us to grow, and the more we grow and the more people who listen to us, the more people you tell about our podcast, the more shows we can do, the more free information we can get out. So if I'm asking for a favor, spread the word, subscribe, give us a good review, and share. That allows us to keep giving you great information.
Absolutely. And if you have questions for Nick, best thing to do is log on CincinnatiEstatePlan.com or call 513-463-6789. Nick, have a good week. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Sounds good. Catch you next time.
The Complete Estate Planning Podcast is brought to you by the Rosenbauer Law Office, based in Westchester, Ohio, and serving the entire Cincinnati area. The show is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and everywhere you listen to podcasts. Subscribe to the show on your favorite app today and never miss an episode. Just search for Complete Estate Planning with Nick Rosenbauer to find us, or visit CincinnatiEstatePlan.com to listen to past episodes, to contact Nick, and to learn more about protecting your family legacy. That's CincinnatiEstatePlan.com.
This show is for informational purposes only and does not provide any legal advice. Information on this show may not constitute the most up-to-date legal information. Please do not act or refrain from acting based solely on anything you hear on this show. This show does not form any attorney-client relationship with the Rosenbauer Law Office, LLC. Please seek the counsel of a qualified attorney before addressing your own estate planning needs.